So I went to, I started my day like I do most days. I went to Dunkin' Donuts, and the kid at the window, absolutely miserable. If you, like, I get it. You work at Dunks, okay? But if you're miserable, sub out. Substitution for someone that's not miserable. That's how I'm starting my day. And, like, this kid, like, I always, you know, even if I'm, hey, how you doing? Just completely silent at the window. Just... Give your stuff, dude. Just fucking take your coffee. Like, I'm an inconvenience. Like, I went to Dunkin' Donuts and I asked them to make me fucking lasagna. Like, you know what I mean? I just want a coffee, dude. Can you, hey, have a good one. Take care. Thanks for coming. Nothing. Just silence. If you know what I mean?
In a cash world, I mean, in a non-cash world, I can see why he's probably so miserable because he knows nobody's tipping.
Yeah, that's true. I always feel, because I, you know what I should start doing? People should start doing? Carry a couple ones in your thing. If you go to Dunks in the morning, give them a couple ones. I get that because I always feel bad because I don't use cash anymore. Thing that's changed since I got, you know, stopped doing drugs was I don't really ever carry cash.
Ever.
You know what I mean? Do you ever, when you, in your days when you were using stuff like that, how often did you hit a Coinstar?
Oh, more often than not.
The worst feeling, dude. Isn't it such a defeating feeling?
Because you know you didn't collect that change yourself, first and foremost.
I've gone to Coinstar clean. When I, like, early on, sober living, I would go and I remember Soup, sorry, Justin, but he used to have a ton of change in his room. And when he'd leave for work, I'd just go take all of his change and go to Coinstar clean to buy, like, groceries. You know what I mean? But it's what a defeating feeling. You know what I mean? I look back and it's like, oh, man, what a life I lived, dude.
And when you take the change, you don't want to take, like, all the quarters because then it's noticeable. You're going to be like, let me scatter some dimes and pennies in there.
Yeah, for sure. But just, like, you got that, like, bag of change. It's probably, like, it might be, like, $27 worth of change. And then it's, like, you hope nobody sees you at the Coinstar. And then it's, like, it's kind of like when you fart. And other people might smell it. You know what I mean? It's like when you're seen at the Coinstar, people know.
They know.
Like, he's on Struggle Street. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's speaking about, like, recovery and stuff like that. And, like, I try to save, like, these kinds of conversations for the Patreon because I'm just not comfortable yet putting them out on the internet. But one thing that I've seen is a trend online on TikTok where it's like a dramatic song's playing and then it shows like a text message thread between like a brother and a sister, or a daughter and a father, where it's like, hey, dad, how many likes to go to rehab? It's like, oh, and then the dad responds or the brother responds where it's like 50,000 likes, 3 verified accounts, and 1 million views, and I'll go to rehab or don't.
Get your life straight.
What do we, not even that, but it's like the internet, it's like everybody wants attention. And I get it because, like, I'm a creator online. I want attention because attention means views and views means more followers. I get it. And I feel like one thing I noticed, like, what's something you can post online that will get, no matter how many followers you have, what's going on, that will give you the most attention? Talking about what?
My children or my family or my wife?
No. You're a fucking retard.
I'm talking about my personal.
No, not you. I'm just saying, in general, what's something that somebody can post that will automatically get people going?
Feel bad for me. That's one big one. Feel bad for me. I feel bad for me post. I feel like people go, oh, I'm really struggling right now. Something like that. That is something where people go, oh my gosh, it's okay. Everything will be okay.
I was thinking more in the lines of like politics. Do you know what I mean? Like that. Why do you think people are so enticed to post about politics online? Part of it is because you're going to get attention. Whether it's negative attention or positive attention, you're going to get a ton of attention. And people love it. So what happens is it's like, oh, I posted that about Trump or I posted that about Biden. I'm going to keep going with this because if I post about anything else, nobody gives a fuck. But if I post about politics, I'll at least either people are going to agree because they can't help themselves or people are going to disagree. But it's going to generate so much attention. Drives me nuts, dude. And like, Trump got shot at, right? And you see a couple people where it's like, oh, can't believe they missed their target. I wish. And it's like, whatever side you're on, dude, like, you don't wish that upon somebody. You know what I mean? Terrible.
It's really bad. It's love him or hate him, which I'm neither. I don't really get down with politics. That's not my thing. You want to talk politics? Let's talk sports. Like, that's what I'd rather talk about. But love him or hate him, like, nobody deserves to die.
Right. And whether you love him or hate him, how fucking badass was he? First of all, he was like, my shoes. No, let me get my shoes. Hold on. I need my shoes. And I was thinking, like, just leave the shoes. You're a billionaire. You're a billionaire. Just leave the shoes. We got a shooter in the woods or something, dude. Leave the shoes.
And then he sticks his hand up and goes, fight.
Fucking fight. He was fired up, dude. And I have no like military or police training, but I've been shot at before. And I've told this story before on the Patreon where it was like we were leaving a party in Dorchester. I was hanging around with kids that like live that life. I didn't grow up in that life, but I used to hang out with kids that did. And I put myself in pickles, lots of pickles. And one time we were leaving a party in Dorchester, and because one of the kids I was with got a bad vibe from another group of kids that was there. And as soon as we hit Dot Ave, somebody did a drive-by, and there was like maybe 7 or 8 of us. And it was just do, 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 do. And I can tell you that in that moment, like, no, I have no training, obviously. In that moment, I'm not thinking, like, let me address the crowd. You know what I mean? Like, for him to be like, hold on, let me fucking fist bump the crowd real quick. That's wild, dude. I, like, swan dove behind a car, and I was scared shitless, dude. You know what I mean? There was no, like, you know, like, let me be a hero here. Or let me, just a crazy feeling it was for me. I can't imagine what he was going through. And to be like, my shoes. Don't forget. Let me grab my shoes real quick. Hold on.
There's one picture from that where it's like a lower shot view with two Secret Service and him with the fist up, blood on his ear, flag in the background. That's going to go down and hit.
The thing that amazed me was how quickly people were making t-shirts and hats and bumper stickers. 30 minutes after it happened, I was online and people were selling t-shirts with that picture on it, like ready to go, dude.
That picture's going to be on the front of Time Magazine. It's going to be in the picture top of Time Magazine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a picture that will go down in history.
History.
History, for sure. Yeah.
Wild, wild situation.
And at this point, it's only going to help him.
That's it.
It's only going to help him. You've seen, like, Elon Musk has some balls, dude. Because, like, even me, I'm like a small-time creator. And I'm like, I'm staying away from politics because I don't want it to hurt my stock. And I don't have a publicly traded company. I stock in like my followers on my Instagram. You know what I mean? Elon Musk runs a freaking company where if he says something crazy, his net worth can fluctuate by billions of dollars, dude. And he's just, as soon as he got shot, Elon was like, I fully support Trump on Twitter, which he owns, which is badass.
Which now you're kind of new to, right?
So I'm starting to see the appeal to Twitter. Because when I first got on Twitter, I was like, this is too... I can't wrap my head around this. Like, it's not organized in a way that I can, like, figure this out. And then I started, like, when, like, something crazy would happen, I would just type it in the search box. And then it's like, you can see what everyone thinks about it as far as, like, popular celebrities, news articles. And then you can see what, like, normal Joe Schmoes think about that subject. And it's just like... There's so much information on there. It's kind of cool, but it's like, ugh, I'm fucking so fed up with the internet, dude. And it's like, what a line of work I picked to get fed up with the internet. It's like, what do I do? You know what I mean? Like, ugh,
your life is the internet.
Oh, and it's just like, what did I do to myself, dude? It's a gift and a curse because I love this aspects of it that I love. And then there's aspects of it where it's just like, the internet sucks. What a pit of fucking misery the place is. It's like so many people are just miserable and just spread hate and disagree, love to disagree. They can't wait to nitpick and disagree, and it drives me nuts. But then on the other hand, it's like, that I'm making a podcast and I'm posting videos and this is how I feed my family. It's like, oh, what did I do to myself, dude? Jesus. And I was thinking about it like Eminem dropped his new album,
mm-hmm.
right? And I thought about like what Eminem did for me in my life when I was a kid. Because I first started listening to Eminem like 10, 11, 12 years old when he first started getting popular. And we didn't have so much shit. You know what I mean? It's like nowadays there's so much shit. There's endless videos and content. Everybody's got a podcast. Everyone, people are pumping videos. There's just so many shows and streaming. And the world has changed since Eminem came, you know, and it started to become popular. Before, it was like you needed to go physically buy his CD. You know what I mean? Or like burn, use Napster or LimeWire to like burn the songs onto a CD and like, there was just less shit out in the world. Now it's like streaming, freaking Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, porn at your fingertips. There's just so much media out there. But in this time, there was a lot of media, but like not as much as there is now. So like when somebody like that came onto the scene, it had like more of an impact because it was less shit to shuffle through. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes. Where and now someone can go on a stream for an hour, one person sees it, it pops off, and then that person's a millionaire off one stream, like Sketch, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
Like his whole thing was, I had $2 in my bank account before I got famous. I had $2. Right, and then right. out of nowhere, people started watching my streams, and then he's doing the pick at the draft for the Texans.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, and I mean, I was thinking more so just like the amount of stuff.
Of course, you are.
That's out there. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
So, but like back then, like he had an impact on my life, on like my way of thinking, and like
I think every kid's life our age, Eminem had an impact on.
Right.
Almost every kid our age, Eminem had an impact. That was my first CD, Eminem Show. My mom said you can only get it if it's edited. I said I know the words he's saying, but I'll get it.
But. Dude, like, and then the like 8 Mile, the movie, like he was just like an icon to me.
Yep.
And then when I first started, I don't like the name drop and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like, I try to keep it cool, but like, I'm a regular guy, dude, okay? So when I first started popping off on TikTok, you know how like you scroll on TikTok and if somebody's following you that you're not following in the bottom left hand corner, it says follows you. So one morning I'm just, and this is like earlier on, you know what I mean? When I had maybe like 100,000, 200,000 on there. And I see this like really pretty girl and it says follows you and she's verified. And I'm like, who is this? Haley Jade? Who is this? And then I Google it and I'm like, that's Eminem's Haley follows me on TikTok. So before I messaged her, I had to like calm myself because he's a god to me, dude. And I'm like, just play it cool. Don't say anything about the dad. You know what I mean? Don't say anything about who her father is. And I needed to go for a drive. But on the drive, I listened to every song where he like ever mentioned her. And then I messaged her and I was like, just keep it cool. Don't say anything. And I was like, oh, I'm just curious. Like, what video made you want to follow me? She's like, oh, there's a bunch of them. Like, I love them. I think you're really funny, whatever. And I was like, oh, all right, cool. Like, just keep it cool. Don't say anything about her dad. And then I was just like, I just want to let you know that, like, your dad, I love him so much. And I was like, oh, fuck. And she was really cool. She, like, it was, like, short and sweet, like, quick little conversation, and that was it. And she was very nice. But it was just, like, I wanted to be like, listen, I don't think you understand. And it's like, of course, she's been dealing with it her whole life. You know what I mean? But I was like, your father means the world to me. You know what I mean? But then on his new album, He has the song, what is it, Temporary?
Yeah, something like that. I listened to the whole album like quickly.
And it's basically like if like I die, like here's a song for you to listen to and find comfort in. I was waterworks, dude. Crying, dude. And it's like any, you know what I mean? Like, think about that. Like, if everything goes to plan, like he's gonna die before she does, and then she's gonna listen to that. From the perspective, okay, now he's gone. Oh, and he's not my father. And I was crying, dude. And it was so funny when she started following me. I started like fantasizing. You ever like daydream fantasize? I do it all the time.
Every drive on the way to work, the long drives, you just have these thoughts. If I went to the store, won a scratch ticket, who would I give money to? What would we do?
I fantasize about like Eminem songs where it's like, I think to myself, like, all right, what if he never came out with a song, but I did instead? Did you do something like that?
That's the Beatles. That's the Beatles.
The Beatles movie.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think about even before that movie, I would think about like, because I got into one rap battle when I was in high school. I used to like get drunk and like rap to my friends, and they used to be like, dude, that was sick. And I remember I battled the kid at the party that was like from the hood and like recorded songs in a recording studio. And we went to overtime. Like it was it was at a party of like 100 people packed. It was in the my buddy Ricky's one of the toughest kids I had ever met in my entire life. And he was like one of those kids that he was so tough where it was like, when you guys get drunk together, like he might fight you. You know what I mean?
Not
if you
fun.
Say that wrong, like come on, dude. Like, but he went up to one of the guys and was like, oh, my buddy will battle you right now for $100. And then he came up to me. He's like, oh, you got to battle this kid. And I was like, I'm not battling this kid. He's like, so you're just going to let me lose this $100? I was like, Ricky, calm down. All right. And I was like, let me drink a little bit more. You know, I just got here. Let me get some liquid courage. And then I thought it was just going to be like off to the side in the corner. You know what I mean? No, Ricky, shut the potty down. Everyone formed a circle. And I like battled this guy. And I made a joke about like him buying his clothes at Walmart or something like that. And I was like, I don't know. Hopefully that wasn't too much. But it like ended up. So I'd fantasize, needless to say, about like, what if I came up with the lyrics to The Way I Am instead of Eminem? The song Temporary, dude, got to me.
Hit home.
I get emotional real easily. And somebody was talking about the other day, like, you know what I mean? Like, what's your favorite movie? Blah, 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 blah. And sometimes it's tough. Like, oh, I don't know. I can't, like, favorite song, favorite movie. For me, it's not. My favorite movie of all time is Forrest Gump.
Great flick.
Great flick. And people... My biggest takeaway from Forrest Gump is people like to shit on Jenny, where it's like, did you watch the movie? Did you see what she went through? You know what I mean? And how nice she was. She met Forrest. She let him sit on the other kids on the bus weren't letting him sit down. She let him sit. She made him feel welcome. They became friends. The father's molesting her. You know what I mean? Like, look at what she's been through. How dare you shit on Jenny? But Forrest Gump, hands down, the best movie ever created.
Why do you think that?
It's got everything. Action, drama, historical events, comedy. It's got everything in one movie.
Wow.
Emotion. It's got everything,
it
right?
It really does.
So, and it has one of the most powerful scenes and most powerful messages that I've ever gotten from a movie. And I think this is coming from like a perspective of a guy that's lost his girlfriend. And I think like I rewatched Forrest Gump. Like, it's the only movie I'll rewatch. Because my whole thing is like, I'd rather watch something I've never seen than rewatch a movie, but Forrest Gump, I can always watch it again. And at the end of the movie, when he's talking to Jenny at her grave, and I'll just play this clip. The clip of Forrest Gump. So this scene in Forrest Gump, one of the most powerful scenes I've ever seen in a movie, the way he explains death. Play the clip.
With Wright, or if it's Lieutenant Dan, I don't know if we each have a destiny, or if we're all just floating around accidental like on a breeze. But I think maybe it's both. Maybe both is happening at the same time.
How powerful of a message is that from Forrest? You think it's like a spoofy, goofy movie, but it's like he just basically helped me grasp death, where it's like a combination of happenstance and fate at the same time. And for somebody that was like going like, you know, I didn't really think about that stuff until I lost somebody really important to me. And then I was like, you know, really trying to figure this thing out. What is the meaning of life, death, blah, 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 blah. But do you hear what he said? really powerful stuff.
It reminds me of what you said on the Patreon about that person in that meeting that said there's a 1 in a trillion chance that you were
one in 400 trillion chance
that you were born and that you met this person and saw this person. So as well as, mind you, they left, at least you met them after all those
odds. Yeah, it was this, the story that I told. It was essentially the message behind that was to focus on the beauty and miracle of life rather than the tragedy of death.
It's that's what reminded me of. That when he was saying that, that reminded me of what, I don't know why those two linked in my brain, but that's what linked.
Just, I think for even how popular it is, I still think it's an underrated film, dude. And if you haven't seen it in a while, rewatch it with a more of an open mind. One of the best movies ever, dude.
There was an interview with Tom Hanks that went pretty viral somewhat recently where he got the accent to be Forrest Gump from the actor who played young Forrest Gump with the braces that end up running the braces off.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's like, my dad works in a grease factory, and he talked like that. And then the producer's like, talk like him.
Yeah, talk like him.
Right. I want you to talk like him. So Tom Hanks just started talking like the kid. Yeah. And that's how he became up with the voice. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't like all the Tom Hanks slander.
There's a lot of
fun. There's so many fucking conspiracy theories. Now, you can't, nothing can happen without someone coming up with a conspiracy theory. I understand that there's probably like a small percentage of them that are like true. But now even when Trump got shot, it was like, was that a
inside
job? Staged? Was that a setup? It's like, everything's a conspiracy theory now. Jiminy crickets.
There's some deep ones on him, too, with that whole Epstein's Island and all that shit. But I'm like, Woody's not bad. Woody's good. Woody from Toy Story is great. He's not bad.
Yeah. It's like, give me some proof, dude. You know what I mean? Like, send him to court. Like, if he's behind bars for doing some weird shit, drinking kids' blood or whatever the fucking rumor was that he was in, it's like, show me some evidence and lock him up. I'll start to hate Tom Hanks, but until then, don't give me any Tom Hanks slander.
You know, the crazy rumor was the one where Wilson from Castaway.
The volleyball?
The volleyball with the bloody hand.
Yeah.
That's based off a little girl that Hillary Clinton skinned the face of. And that, like, that's the shit I'm talking about. Where people who tell me these rumors, I go, you know, I could go on the internet and make some crazy video explaining, look at this and look at that and look at this. And then I could have 100,000 people go, I agree with you.
It's like, no, that's
too deep. That's too far. Yeah. That's too deep.
The internet's done a lot of good, but it's also doing a lot of bad at the same time, dude. It's like, there's always going to be like, so whatever you believe in, right? Whether you're a Democrat or you're a Republican, or you're religious, or you're not religious, there's always going to be a group of people that fuck it up for you. Where it's like, you're way too left, or you're way too right. And like, it's just like, you know what I mean? Like, you're fucking it up for everybody else because you look like a fucking crazy person. Especially with like religion, where you see like the people like, you know, the mega churches and like, or the churches where it's like, The pastor like presses his palm on somebody's forehead and all of a sudden they start having a seizure.
Yeah.
It's like you're really hurting the people that are like just normal religious people. Like play the clip of the lady. Like that one.
I'm gonna tell you, the world is going to hell if you don't get in the bird with the Jesus Christ. He's coming. Heaven is coming in hell too. And you better get yourself together.
So you better get yourself together because heaven and hell, they're coming. Whatever that means. And then play the other one. I got another Jesus one on there. No, not that one. This one.
Exercise right fucking now. Piss me off. You're going to be exercised right now. I'm fucking sick of your shit. I'm sick of you not being saved. I'm sick of you not believing. And I'm sick of...
So the internet's screwing up religion for everybody because you see videos like that and it's like, I'm not buying this shit you guys are selling. And there's plenty of people that like normal people that practice religion and just, you know what I mean? It's more believable. But then you get people like that and it's like, I'm not going to church. I'm not buying this shit.
I wish
you got to be careful because they'll come for you, dude. You know what I mean? And I'm sort of like, I have a higher power. I believe in a higher power, but I don't like practice a certain religion because there's fucking wackos out there that turn me off from it like this. Like, so the internet's not doing religion any favors. You know what I mean?
I wish I had the clip ready, but I don't. You know that viral video that went where the guy's like, I'm not gay no more.
Oh, one of my favorites.
I'm delivered.
One of my favorites.
I like women.
One of my favorites.
And then women.
That's one of my favorites, dude.
And then 3 weeks later, he's like, does a video. He's like, yeah, I was gay. I was wrong.
Yeah. It's like one of my favorite clips of all time.
Oh, ever.
So I have a challenge for you.
Okay.
So one thing that I've seen with the internet, and I don't know what's happening to my Instagram Reel For You page, but it is so brutal. And I can't, because I have like a sick sense of humor. So I'm kind of like in a tough position because like my sense of humor is so dark and like, you know, but I got to be careful. It's almost like I got to be not family friendly, but I got to have some level of control or else I'll just, my account will just get shut down. And then there's stuff that I definitely don't agree with. One thing, and it's tough because it's like people being mean on the internet is so wrong. But at the same time, sometimes it's fucking funny, dude. But it's like you can't admit it because you don't want to get like canceled. So this is a video I'm about to show you where the comments is so brutal. And I do not condone and I don't agree with being brutal on the internet. But it doesn't mean it's not funny sometimes. You know what I mean? But like, you know, funny behind closed doors until you do a fucking segment on your podcast and then you open the floodgates. But it is what it is. So I'm going to have you watch this video.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm going to read comments to you.
All right.
Right. And you shouldn't laugh because it's fucked up. So I'm going to have you put a big swig of water in your mouth while you do it to make it a little bit more difficult for you. So go ahead and grab that water bottle.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. That's okay. What it's for.
Take a sip out of this?
No. The cap should be sealed. Let me get the comments ready.
Correct.
Hold on. All right, fire off that clip, Josh. No, you got the water in? Okay, try not to laugh. Play the clip.
I think I just wrote the song of the summer. I want to get high on love. I want to get drunk on laughter. I want to get high on love. I want to do shots of moonlight.
All right, ready for the comments? Try not to laugh. Okay, hold on. Bro sings in gay. This sounds like oat milk. What ethnicity are you? I'm interested in calling you a slur. That one English teacher with kids and a wife. Please try fentanyl. You've ruined. Please try fentanyl. It's so fucked up. You ruined my day. Do the same dance, but on a busy road, please. The sexual tension between my Glock and my mouth is crazy right now. You held it together. I'm proud of you. You can swallow it.
It almost leaked, dude, multiple times. So I passed 1 and 2. I got 1 for you.
Okay.
Now, as we talked about, the internet is a very dark place.
Yeah.
I can't believe stuff like this exists.
Right.
So I have 1 for you that I want you to put water in your mouth. Now, if you're a good person, like clearly I am,
yeah,
you will not laugh and you will not.
I'll pass this with flying colors, dude. I needed a sip for how much water am I putting in?
Just put
filling my cheeks?
Like I did. You saw it was pretty filled. You're gonna laugh before you even see it.
Cody is blind and autistic.
Oh, my. Oh, I'm going to get a lot of Karens in the comments that are upset with me over that. Listen, I don't. I have a dark sense of humor, dude. You know what I mean? And I gotta keep it offline, dude. I can't be doing stuff like that. It's not good PR. It's not good PR.
That buzzer, it's hard not to laugh with that buzzer.
My God, dude. No, we were talking about when we were out on my balcony. You ever are on a high balcony at like a hotel room and you get like a weird feeling where your brain, your subconscious is like jump, 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 jump. And you're not suicidal, but your subconscious is like jump, 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 jump. And I Googled it. And apparently a ton of people get this feeling where you're not going to jump, but your brain is like jump, 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 jump. And you can't even, I don't want to be on this balcony right now. It's a sign of PTSD, some sort of like trauma or something that's happened to you in your life. That's what it's a sign of.
For me, it's like a curiosity. It's almost like a curiosity. Like, come on, just jump. Just see what happens.
Well, you're going to die.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a weird thing. Apparently a ton of people have experienced it.
It's like right when you get to the edge, it's like a wobble almost. Like this feeling of like, whoa.
Are we going to get freaking canceled for that? I mean, whatever, dude. I can't think. I just got to post and pray for the best. Listen, here I am like complaining about people being mean to me in the comments. Like, by saying, like, oh, this wasn't funny, and it, like, ruins my whole day, and then I laugh at something like that. I can't complain anymore.
Are we going to still do what pissed you off this week? Did anything piss you off this week?
Just the guy at Dunkin' Donuts.
That's it?
Just drive-thrus in general. You know what pissed me? Another thing happened where I've made a video in the past where I think I was at McDonald's, and you order one item. Right, you don't want to just say, can I get a bacon double cheeseburger, a large fry, six-piece chicken nugget? And they could probably handle it, but you kind of just one item, take a breath, another item. But in between each breath, they hit you with the, anything else? Anything else? Is that it? Is that it? Is that it? It's like, do you want to clock out? Do you want to clock out and go home? Can we get somebody else on the mic? Why? What pissed you off this week?
So I had the day off Thursday. And my coworker calls and goes, what's going on with your computer? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, there's something chirping in a computer. What did you do? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll see you tomorrow. I went into work tomorrow every 10 minutes. Cheep, cheep, cheep. Every 10 minutes. So I'd look at him and be like, is that what you're talking about? He goes, dude, where is it coming from? I'm like, dude, I don't know. It sounds like a cricket. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. My coworker's losing his mind. We're ripping this place apart.
Hey, I'm on the edge of my fucking seat.
This.
I think people. What was it? What is that?
It's a fake cricket that you turn on and throw it somewhere. And every 10 minutes, reep, reep, reep.
Every 10 minutes or like every 30 seconds?
Every 10 minutes. So then you forget about it. And then you're talking to a customer right next to my ear in the wall of the divider between me and another salesperson.
So you planted it or somebody planted it?
Somebody else did.
Oh, that's mad funny.
And we didn't know where it was.
That's cool.
So we finally found it, and I was going to leave it in your apartment, but now I just set it on here, so now I can't do that.
Let me have it.
You can have it. You want?
I want to play a prank on my father. This will drive him nuts asleep. So is there a way to turn it on?
Yep, there's a little on switch on the side. And then...
Oh, my God. I am going to... Should I leave it in his car?
You know where you put it? Put it in the vent. So, like... What the fuck?
No, I'm gonna put it like under his desk or something at work. Oh my God! Yeah. I'm definitely saving this.
But then, well, we heard the noise, and I'm like, dude, it was not me. I'm telling you, was it happening your day off? Before your day off, what did you do? What did you do?
I should have my father on as a guest one week.
Yeah, you definitely should.
He's got such an interesting life story. To me, it's interesting. You know what I mean? And we butt heads when I was younger, yeah. But then as I got older, I really appreciated like where he came from, dude. He moved to the United States from the Cape Verde Islands in 1975, didn't speak a lick of English, and went right to Brockton High School as a freshman. And I remember, this story's so sad. I remember he told me they went to Salvation Army to get his first day of school clothes, and he was so excited to have a shirt that had any sort of lettering on it. Because back home in Cape Verde, never had a shirt that said like polo or like a football team. It was all just like blank canvas shirts. So we finally had a shirt that had lettering on it, but the lettering was ABC, like the alphabet, like ABC, like not like a cool shirt. And he was like so fired up to like go to school with a shirt with lettering on it and then just got like made fun of. But like to go from that to, I think it took him like 5 years to graduate high school because he was a, you know, foreign exchange, English as a second language type of thing. And to see like what he's turned his life into today, like multimillionaire, successful jewelry store, does so much for the country of Cape Verde. You know, him and I started a charity. We raised like almost 90 grand. But before we started that charity, he used to just do it on his own. Like he would just like buy stuff for people, help people, you know, get access to doctors and surgeons they wouldn't normally get access to. And his life story is just really cool. And he came from like such humble beginnings. And so I think it'd be good to like have him on to talk about that sort of stuff.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. The experience of coming to America, not speaking. Because when I talk to him now, you'd have no idea he even has an accent.
Well, out of all of his brothers and sisters, he's the only one to marry a non-Cape Verdean woman. He's the only one to marry like an American woman. So he didn't speak it in the household. Like he spoke English, you know. So he, out of all of his brothers and sisters, he's the one with the least of an accent.
You wouldn't be able to tell. You really wouldn't be able to tell.
The dynamics of my family are so cool. Like my father's got seven brothers and sisters. They're all, you know, immigrants from Cape Verde. And then my mom's side of the family, they all grew up in Brockton, like Irish, Scottish, English, diehard, season ticket patriot holding, like 6'2", big beer belly, heavy drinkers, like funny, like just two completely different worlds. And, you know, back in the day before my parents split, to see those two sides like come together was just magical. It was great.
But even now, don't you have relatives from one side of the family working for at your dad's store?
Yeah, my mother's brother works at my dad's jewelry store. So they, you know what I mean? Like it took some time to get to that point, but like yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
I think it's great. Yeah. And that's
my Uncle Chuck. Oh, he's a fucking character. He's on everyone. Like, think of a better uncle name.
Uncle Chuck.
Than Uncle Chuck. Uncle Charlie. That's so the best uncle name you could have.
The best.
Yeah.
We have my dad's side of the family that was, he grew up in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, the Bucket. So, like, he and my mother grew up in Westwood. So, it's complete opposites.
Oh, yeah. The Bucket versus Westwood, dude.
Complete opposites. Yeah. So, it's pretty crazy because my mom's side is Irish, very, very Irish. Like, our family group chat is called Irish Whispers because none of us, all of them are like me.
None of us
are quiet.
Right.
Family get-togethers are loud. And my dad's side of the family, like, my dad's brother's an FBI agent. He's in Mississippi. One's in Jersey. One's in North Carolina. So we don't see them very often. So every holiday is my mom's side of the family. It's like, okay, we're going to the Keogh side. Let's go. We're going to get there. Hey, want a cocktail? Sure. Fill me up, please. And it's a really fun dynamic being around them. Like, it's a really good time. Really, really good time.
You know what I think we should do, since you brought up Pawtucket, is why don't we just adopt Rhode Island and just merge it? Rhode Island should just become Massachusetts at this point. I mean, the whole state is the size of my refrigerator. Like, it's a tiny little state. We're so similar in our personalities. Rhode Island should just be like a section of Massachusetts. We should just adopt it.
But imagine if we had 49 states.
People from Rhode Island will hear that and be like, we're fine by ourselves. You know what I mean? But we should just merge together with them.
Rhode Island's, I mean, we can have, give us Rhode Island. You can keep Connecticut. I don't want Connecticut.
Well, because Connecticut's weird because like as you get closer to New York. And
they're more New York.
Yeah.
They're more New York.
Connecticut's just like the drive-through state to get
Correct.
To like the better states.
Correct.
And then I feel like people watching this that have no idea who I am are going to be, you know, kind of judgy. And I guess that's what happens when you start a podcast and it's like, you know, not on a specific subject and you're sort of just winging it. Like, we're going to have guests on, blah, 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 whatever. But I feel like people are going to judge me, which is normal. Sometimes you can't help it. But like, if I say something fucked up or do something fucked up, they're going to come at me. But it's like, what I feel like, people don't understand what my life has looked like up until I was 30 years old. So I'm 34. But when I was, never mind like my childhood and anything fucked up that happened in my childhood. But when I was 15, I got sent to one of those wilderness programs. I lived in the woods for 45 days. From there, I spent my junior year of high school at a therapeutic boarding school and was gone for a year of my life. My parents said that I was going away for 3 days and I ended up gone for a year. Came back, got arrested for breaking and entering at 17 years old, was tried as an adult, and that started the process of me getting arrested and going to jail. And then I got kicked out of my house shortly after I graduated high school. I bounced around. I moved to Brockton. I started hanging around with a Cape Verdean gang in the city, got shot at, seen crazy things, got into drugs, heavy, Percocets, graduated to heroin, was Section 35 for the Bridgewater prison, you know, wanted to get clean, moved to the Cape to change my life, was in and out of detox 3 or 4 times, was hopeless, couldn't get it, met a girl, fell in love, finally had like a reason to live. Fast forward 2 years later, she dies. I still can't stay clean, so on and so forth. Like, I'm missing 17 million other stories that's happened in my life. And then all of a sudden, finally at 30 years old, I start to get it together again. I've lived in 20 different recovery houses. I've been to detox 10 to 15 times, rehabs, you name it. So many crazy things have happened to me. And all of a sudden, 30 years old, I go to get clean again. Pandemic happens, lockdown, the fucking country's going to shit. Everything's crazy. And then all this internet fame starts to happen as I'm trying to get my life together, stay on the right track, get my life together. And all of a sudden I have, you know, millions of followers across different platforms on the internet. And it's like my life has been going 1,000 miles an hour. And then all of a sudden things finally slow down. And then I just plop my ass into a seat and do a podcast. You know what I mean? So if you're listening, just shut up. Don't fucking nitpick every little thing that I say. You know what I mean? If you don't enjoy it, if you don't like it, you don't have to say anything negative, offer up your opinion. Just move on and go watch the fucking Beach Boys or something.
I'm glad I got that rant out of the way. That felt good.
That was quite a timeline.
It's intense, wasn't it?
That was very deep, dude.
Yeah. And again, like I know I've said it a million times on previous episodes, but like I'm saving those like interpersonal stories for the Patreon just because I'm not comfortable with them being out there yet until my son gets a little older, you know?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, he's getting so big, it's crazy.
So fast.
It blows my mind. It puts into perspective how old I'm getting, dude. You know what I started doing? And I can't believe I'm admitting this online. I started Just for Men in my beard. I you know, starts with one gray, and then all of a sudden there's a ton of grays. And but it's like not enough gray where I could get the salt and pepper look going. You know what I mean? It's like it looks like there's like food in my beard. Gray. So I've been Just for Men in, dude.
It looks so magic? No one can tell.
It looks so magic? Is that a real sentence that you're saying to me?
It
looks magical.
Looks so magic. No one can tell. Just for Men jail.
Is that the...
I was going with that reference, but you clearly didn't pick up on it.
Didn't. Sorry.
Went right over your head.
It did. I feel like I was a little unhinged on this episode.
Yeah, we kind of both were. It's all right.
Yeah, because it's like you get like prepping for it, like kind of think all week. I'm like, I should talk about this. I should talk about that. And then I sit down, I get the mic in front of me, and I'm like, fucking, you know what I was thinking about? I was like, we'll get better at it. Stick with us, folks. I hope you had a good time. We're switching off and moving over to Patreon if you're interested in the extended version. The uncut version, there's stories already on there that I've told that hopefully nobody clips and will never see the light of day, but go check them out. They're pretty funny. Some of them are sad. Patreon.com/nobodycaresAnthony. Thanks for listening, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.